Okay, this week's parsha is parsha Vayechi. Special parsha because is chazak v'nis chazek. Okay, Shabbos chazak. There's nothing like a Shabbos chazak. Parsha is called the parsha Stuma. That's the first Rashi in the parsha begins by telling us lama parsha zoy Stuma. Why is this parsha a Stuma? Lefi. Shekevan shenifta Yaakov Avinu nistemu einayim velibam shal Yisrael mitzoras hashibud shehischilu l'shabdam davar acher shebikoish legalis hasakeitz lebanov v'nistam mimenu. Rashi says quite a mouthful. Quite a number of Yisraelis are presented in this very first Rashi. I want to begin with another vart as a hakdama to the second vart. The first vart is something that I saw in the Sefer Nesivas Shalom. That is a very, very popular Sefer today. Nesivas Shalom by the Slonim Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's a very popular Sefer. He says there's something I never heard before, a shocking thing. This week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu, he wanted to reveal to his children the Ketz, the end of days. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Mashiach will come, or the world will end. The Ketz, whatever it means. We don't even know what it means, the Ketz. And suddenly the Shechina departed. It disappeared. And he questioned, why did the Shechina disappear? Is everyone of my children, is everyone here righteous? Are there any problems that I don't know about? And they responded, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And he said, oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shem, Kvar Malchuso, Li'olam Voed. It must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not want me to reveal secrets. Okay, fine. The Ribbono Yisrael, if he wanted, can reveal to Yaakov Avinu not to reveal the secrets without taking away the Shechina. Now, we don't appreciate this because we do not know what Shechina means. We do not know what all of these things mean. But the way the Son of Rebbe says, he quotes the Chazal, it's a Zohar, I don't know who he's quoting. What he says is that for Hashem to take away the Shechina from a tzaddik is a very, very great pain. It's a very great degree of punishment. If the tzaddik, the Shechina is resting upon a tzaddik, Hashem has his ways of communicating with the tzaddik that, you know what? Don't reveal the secret. Hashem has plenty of techniques to make sure the secrets are not going to be revealed. And yet, so you don't have to take away the Shechina. To take away the Shechina is a pachim panim. That's what it is. The Shechina is resting upon Yaakov Avinu. It's like a Chum Beis HaMikdash. What was the Beis HaMikdash? It was the Mokoyim of the Hashroas HaShechina. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, what was it in essence? The Shechina left. So the Shechina departing from Yaakov Avinu is the equivalent of taking away of the Chum Beis HaMikdash. Why did Hashem do this to Yaakov Avinu? Why did he punish him? Why did he cause him such grief? And he says something that is shocking, utterly shocking. He's quoting Sanders Vodas in Chazal Kubit Zoyar, and he says, because Yaakov Avinu, we know that Mashiach can come in one of two ways. It can come either at the end of days, Achishana. The Ita means that it's a pre-designated time at the end of days, or Achishana, it can come early. It can come before it, if we do Teshuvah, Hayoim. When is Mashiach coming? Mashiach is coming today. If only in Bekoiloi Teshuvah, if only we'll do Teshuvah. Yaakov Avinu, by calling his children together and telling him, Eis Asher Yikra B'Achras Hayamim, is working with the assumption that Klal Yisrael will never bring Mashiach before its predestined time. He's basically telling his children, you're all a bunch of good-for-nothings, and you'll never be able to bring Mashiach early, you'll never be able to do teshuva, to the degree where Mashiach will come before the end of days. So therefore, let me tell you the Ketz. The Ketz is the Gilui of Ita. The time at the end of days when Mashiach will come, whether you're Tzaddikim or Rishon, it doesn't make a difference. This is the pre-Desem. Of course, there's something called Achishena, Hayoim, in Bekoiloi Tishmo. But, you people, never. Will never happen. So therefore, let me reveal to Eis Asher Yikra Eschem, let me tell you the Ketz, the very, very end. Yaakov Avinu insulted his children. He didn't just insult his children. He told his children, I don't have confidence in you.
You ain't
gonna
make it.
You're not gonna make it. I don't have confidence in you. You're just not up. You're not up with the program. You're not. So Hashem says, that's how you talk to your children? Didn't you go to parenting school? Didn't you read the FJJ parenting column? How to parent a child? Is that how you talk to your children? You don't have a faith in your children that they will bring Mashiach before it's time? Just to put this in their mind. It's poison. It's poison what you've done. Let me tell you the Kates. Why do you need to know the Kates? You will for sure bring Mashiach before the end of days. So Hashem says, for that you deserve a Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And we're going to start with you. Yaakov was the Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina was resting upon Yaakov Avinu. The Shechina departed. Lama Parshas Ustuma, what does Rashi over here say? Dovaracher, why was it? Shebigesh Legalis Esakates. He made a mistake, Yaakov Avinu. He didn't trust his children. He poisoned their minds by telling them, I don't trust you. V'nistam imenu. And that's why it says, go back to the Rashi. Shekevon shnifto Yaakov Avinu. Nisanim shoshavlim shosham v'tzor shibim shishkul shom v'racher. V'nistam imenu. And where does it say the word Shechina? It says the word Shechina somewhere. The Shechina departed. Okay, it says it, those words somewhere. The Shechina, okay, I have to find the word the Shechina departed. But, it's incredible. It says that the Shechina departed when it says another event when the Shechina departed when he saw Ephraim and Menashe. There is explicitly in Rashi that they're not roy, they're not deserving to be blessed. They're not deserving. There it says the word that the Shechina departed. But I think it says also end of the parasha also it says the Shechina. But the idea is there. So what do you learn from that? You learn from that is, part of parenting or part of dealing with other people is to empower them. And the ultimate way you empower a person is you trust them. You have faith in them. Having faith in another person is what gives them the power. Is what gives them the power to accomplish the impossible. If Yaakov Avinu would not have told Klal Yisrael about the Kates, Mashiach would have come already. Because say, I trust you. I have faith in you that you're going to bring Mashiach. Do it. Just do it. I trust you. The fact that Yaakov Avinu says, let me tell you about the Kates, because you're hopeless. Yeah, there's an escape clause. There is an escape clause somewhere in the contract that if you want to bring Mashiach right away, Hayoim in Bekoiloi Tishmo. But our minds have been poisoned already because he told us, oh, there's a Kates, which means you don't think we can bring it earlier than the end of the days. So therefore, he was punished that the Shechina left him. Okay. That's one degree of steam. Now, that Hakdama, I want to go now to another Vart. Okay? You're using that as a Hakdama.
Where did this come from?
The Nesivas Shalom. The Nesivash, the beginning of the parasha, he quotes this Chazal. And then, you ever heard this before? Never heard this before.
Right.
Okay, we're so used to assuming that our good oilim, they're so perfect, right? They can't make a mistake. And here, he quotes the Chazal that Yaakov Avinu made a very big mistake. Okay, the Rabban says that Avraham Avinu made a very big mistake. And here, Yaakov made a mistake. Great people make mistakes also.
This is partly based on a little bit of what Rashi says, Asher Osam Liel Kim Wazeth.
That's the next sugya. Also, should also the part of that case as well.
Bracha
v'dai roi l'bracha. Right, right. Rashi also beferish the Shechina departed. Right, correct. Okay, now let's go to another part. Let's first clarify a basic yisoy. What is generally? We want to spend a lot of time on this in Aruch HaShulchan, a parasha psucha and a parasha stuma in general in the Torah, the general terms of the Torah. A parasha psucha is where the new parasha begins on the beginning of a new line. That is called a parasha psucha. What comes before that? You have at least 9 blank spaces on the previous line. You have 9 blank spaces on the previous line, and then the new parasha, the subsequent parasha, when it begins on a brand new line, that is called a parasha pesucha. When you have in the Sefer Torah, there's text in the beginning of the line, and then there are 9 blank spaces, and then there's text at the end of the line, And it's a new parasha because, but it's the beginning of the end of the line after nine blank spaces. That is what's called in the world of Safra, it's called a parasha situma. Okay, and if you don't do it the right way, the Sefer Torah is possible. And the Rambam lists all the parashas, how many there are. I think there are 275 in total. 275 parashas in the Torah. From that, how many are psuchos and stumos, I do not know. Has to be that way. Now, this parasha is none of the above. There's no space. Vayichi Yaakov Yeretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. There is no space. There is no nine letters. No nine letters before. The parasha does not begin on a new line. So it's a different type of stuma. It's hard. It's easy to get to misunderstand what Rashi here means. Rashi says, Lama parasha zos stuma. The word stuma here in Rashi is not the same stuma in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, the word stuma means the new parasha begins on the end of the line, and there are nine blank spaces in between the beginning of the line of text and the text at the end of the line. Over here, the parasha of Vayechi begins in the middle of a line, not on a new line, and parasha, and there's no blank space whatsoever. So what does that mean exactly? So let's clarify. When you have a classic parasha psucha, the parasha begins on the beginning of the line. What does that mean exactly? It means we want to emphasize that what we're beginning now is brand new stuff. It's fresh. This is a new chapter. This is a new event. This is a new tekufa. What about the old, what came before us? You know something? We couldn't care less. If you want that segment to keep on going further and come into this parasha, gezunt hate. It's not a contradiction. There are two elements when you have a new chapter. Let's talk about in the Goyish world. You have a new chapter. Chapter 1, chapter 2, take a secular book. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, basically, it begins chapter 3. It's making a double statement. Chapter 2 is over. We're done. We're finished with chapter 2. Go home. Number 2, we're now beginning chapter 3. It's both the end and the beginning. The end of the past, the beginning of what is new. When you have in the Torah a parasha psucha, you don't have that example of a chapter break, you don't have anywhere in the Torah. Except maybe between chumashim. You have four blank lines. Four blank lines in the chumash means, the new parasha, Bereishis, Shemos. Bereishis is over. Gesundheit, you're done. Now the end. And now we're starting a new beginning, the Eileh Shmos B'nei Yisrael. You have that four times in the Torah, between Bereishis and Shmos, Shmos Vayikra, Vayikra B'Midbar, B'Midbar Devarim. You want to go tell me the end of the Torah? Fine, you have the end, you have the beginning before Bereishis. But in the entire Chumash, you never have double. You either have one of the two, and that is, I want to emphasize now that we're beginning now a new significant event. But it doesn't mean that the old event, what we just came from, is really over. What is over, it never was over. The line of text that you read one moment ago continues into this story. The old story is not over yet. The old story continues and continues and continues. But be aware that what we're about to study now is very significant. It's a significant highlight of the story. It's something fresh, something new. It's a parasha pesucha. But it doesn't take away, but it doesn't close off the old parasha. When you have a parasha stuma, when the parasha begins at the end, the parasha begins at the end of the line, and there's nine blank spaces before, that's telling you, we're not starting anything really new now. What you're about to study now can only be understood in the context of what happened before. But you have to understand something also, that we've just finished reading has come to an end to a significant degree. I want to emphasize that the story we've concluded is over. And we're going to go weiter now. And we're going to go weiter. You can't understand what we're about to learn now without taking into consideration the old. But it's not nothing really new. It's a very, very fine nuance. Every time you have a break, we think, what is a break? A break is what Masha Hoya, Kvar Hoya, we're done. Umasha Osid Lihiyos is a new chapter. You want to go tie things together? Good for you. You go figure it out. But as far as the Torah is concerned, we're over, we're starting fresh. No! The Torah is much more complex than that. The Torah sometimes says, we're going to now parsha psucha. I want to bring to your attention, this is something new and fresh. Now, from here on in, but when you were reading the old stuff, you never really stopped. You continue reading. You have to read it two different ways. When you're reading the from what's before, keep on reading. Keep on reading. You're not going to be able to understand what you read before unless you keep on going. So keep on going. You never really came to an end. But you have to understand that there's another dimension in what you're about to study right now that is independent. It doesn't take away. This is the nature of Torah. The many layers of interpretation. And sometimes it is just the opposite. Is what you're reading now is just a continuation. Don't make something significantly new. But you have to realize what you just finished studying has come to an end. And you have to stop and pause and reflect. And there are elements, there are dimensions in what you studied until now that you're not going to be able to extract from what you're about to read now in the future. It's a complex thought. There's a complexity and the richness in the Torah that you don't have in the secular readings. You don't have something like this. It's where stop, it's over. Was, what is now? We have in the Torah Parsha Psucha, Parsha Stuma. Don't make a mistake. People say, oh, Parsha Stuma is like a new paragraph, and a Parsha Psucha is like a new chapter. No, that's not the way it goes. A new chapter is four lines. A new chapter is four lines separating Chumash Bereishis from Chumash Shemos. That's a new chapter. A Parsha Psucha and Parsha Stuma has no equivalent in maybe, I don't know, maybe you'll tell me some fancy grammar with semicolons and colons, and you'll find me some, what's the MLA handbook on grammar. You'll tell me that there is such a thing in English language. Maybe there is, I'm not so sure. But in the Torah, there's a psucha and a stuma, and it's telling you how to study the Torah in different dimensions. Now, take that idea and superimpose it upon our parsha. We have something called a parsha stuma, a naya parsha, a whole new parsha. This parsha is sosum mikolat stodim. It's completely sealed. It's completely meaning. There really should have been a break. What kind of break should there have been? Who knows? Maybe there should be... The whole story of Yaakov Avinu's death, his story of his death, should begin both dimensions. On the one hand, it's after he dies, it's a new tkufa, but you have to carry with it from the past. Or on the other hand, Yaakov Avinu dies, it's a parsha stuma. It's the end. But when you begin, what happens afterwards, you have to go back and take into consideration. We really should have this parasha sandwiched in both, in either a pesuch or a stum, in all that it means. But yet, this parasha has no breaks whatsoever. Meaning, keep on going. Don't pull over to the side. Whatever happens further, it only can be understood from what it says now. Whatever happened before can only be understood what it says now. There is no break. There is no pause whatsoever, which is very disturbing, because we do need a reflection upon how to make sense of some event. And Rashi does try to explain something. And he says something very interesting. It says something that he focuses on the beginning and on the end. He basically is focusing on a failure in the beginning and a failure at the end. Yaakov Avinu died. The libam, the enam shel Yisrael, were dim because of what our words are. The mitzoras hashibut, the difficulty of the shibut. If Rashi would have stopped there, we would have been very, very happy people. But Rashi does not stop there. He says two more words. Shehischilu l'shabda. You know what the tsar was? The beginning. The tsar is always in the beginning. That's the aschalta de paranus. And then he says, Dovarache. There's another pain that's involved over here, and that is, Shibikesh legalis esakets. He wanted to reveal to his children the end. The end. And Vinista Mimenu. It was hidden from him. It was hidden from him. Why? Because Hashem says, I told you a var. You don't know if this will tie it into this idea, but Hashem said, it's not a good idea to tell them the end. Okay, let's tie it in, because you're poisoning their minds. You're basically telling them that they have no chance of bringing the Gula on its own. Rashi emphasizes in the difficulty, the tsar, of Yaakov Avinu's death, a beginning and an end. The tsaras Hashiva began, sheyeschilu l'shabda. There is a unique, acute pain that is only found in the beginning of the Golos. And then Rashi says, there's a unique, acute pain that is only found in regard to the end of the Golos. And as we described, just telling the children that there is a Ketz is a revelation of Yaakov Avinu telling the children, I don't have faith in you. He humiliated them. And they knew that. And that stayed with them. So this, the Torah wanted to emphasize in the mail of this, a parsha psucha, a parsha stuma. Not the stuma that you're familiar with. Because when you have a parsha psucha or parsha stuma, You're only doing one of the two. It's either you're focusing, it's a new beginning, Parsha Psucha, it's a new beginning, the end, we're not discussing the end, or it's an end. It's an end of the old. This Tekufa is a Tekufa where there's a difficulty, there's going to be a pain in the beginning, and there's going to be acute pain at the end. One is normally a psucha and a stuma. It's one or the other, not both together. Here, we don't have nine spaces, not at the end of the line, and not in the middle of the line. We have no space. And then the parasha begins, it's squeezed together to tell you that there's going to be a tsara in the beginning, and there's going to be a tsara at the end. If there's supposed to be space, that means things are going to be the way they should be. If there's not going to be space, that's an indication it's going to be trouble. The fact that they're both lacking, the space of the psucha, and the space of the psucha means there's going to be trouble in the beginning, and there's going to be trouble at the end. The point I'm trying to make is you only can appreciate this Rashi when you first appreciate what a psucha and a stuma normally is. A psucha and a stuma are mutually exclusive. They're not the same thing. They're not creating a separation between A and B. There's a flow. There's a continuous flow. There's an emphasis. Are we now emphasizing a new section, or are we emphasizing an end of a section? But doesn't only one or the other? This is unique in that we have none of them, which means there's no emphasis on the beginning, and there's no emphasis on the end. The absence is a symbolic, Rashi says, of trouble is brewing. And what is the trouble? Rashi says the absence of the beginning element of the stuma is the haschola shehischilu l'shabdan. The absence of the element of the end is an indication of the tzara of the ketz. Is that the fact that I have to tell you that there is something called a ketz and do not trust you, that you will bring Mashiach before its time, that there's a possibility, indicates a humiliation that we never live down. That our Father doesn't really believe that we have the ability to bring Mashiach before its time. Because if he really believed, it wouldn't be relevant to tell us, let me tell you the year where Mashiach will come, no matter what. Not relevant. We're going to bring Mashiach way before that. The fact that he revealed it was a tsar in the end of Golos. Is that unfortunately, who knows? Who knows if we have the ability? We're weakened people. Okay, so that's the idea. When these two ideas wrap together of this incredible chiddush from the Slumber Rebbe, and how to understand what it means here, stuma, only when you appreciate the deeper meaning of what it means general, a parasha psucha or a parasha stuma. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Ephraim and Menashe. Okay, Ephraim and Menashe, every Friday night, we give, everyone gives their children the bracha is Simcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chem Menashe. Why? Why Ephraim and Menashe not ke Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov? If for the girls you say, Sar Rivka Rachel v'Leia, so why can't you say for the boys, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, where in the world did these two people come from, that they are zoicha to this brach of Ephraim and Menashe? So there are probably 100 answers to this question. Okay, we're not going to go through the 100 answers. 2 weeks ago, we spent, we have to share on this. Was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? We spent a very significant portion. I gave you a very interesting idea of why Ephraim and Menashe. I want to give you now another reason, another different reason why we say Ephraim and Menashe. And let me give you the Hakdamah with a story that I told you not that long ago. We spent the day doing, I want to do more of these. I need time though to prepare. We did on the yard side of the Chassam Sofer, we spent a whole day discussing the life of the Chassam Sofer. A review of the article just published, a brand new, hot off the press biography of the Chassam Sofer. So we spent the whole day going over the biography. Book review.
Art Scroll.
It's a very good book. It has received very high praise from the biggest critics. Okay, they have a lot of experience in knowing how to accept the criticism and work with it and make it better. They received high praise in how they played what they presented in this book. It's not even a big book. It's a pretty small book, relatively speaking, compared to the other biographies. And there is a story. It's a beautiful story. There's a lot to learn from this story, and I saw the story. I saw the story even today that when I was preparing. I saw the story somewhere else. The Chassam Sofer, who had a daughter, his favorite daughter, it seems. Her name was Simcha. Okay, it's one of the few names that can be a boy and a girl. Okay, the name Simcha is a boy's name and a girl's name, and he really adored this girl. And who did she end up marrying? I forgot. I really for everything. I can't forget 1, 2, 3. But there was a boy. He had his eye on. There was a boy at a yeshiva, and he really wanted this. This boy went on to be one of the Gedolei Yisrael. One of the famous names, I don't remember, one of the big Gedolei Yisrael. And he wanted him for his daughter. He had his eye on him. Problem was, his name was Moshe. Moshe. And the Chassam Sofer's name is Moshe. So, Chaim de Beinu Gershom. A boy should not marry a girl whose father carries the same name. Beinu Gershom. I'm not machmen on these things. Who's machmen on this? This is for his family. There are a lot of exceptions. You don't have to be machmen. You're not part of the family. The Chassam Sofer's name was Moshe. The boy's name was Moshe. The Chassam Sofer had no hakpada whatsoever. It didn't mean any difference to him. He approached him. And he said to him, however he approached him, I want you for my daughter. Would you be willing to take her out? I don't know what he said to him, whatever it is, to look into this. So the first thing the boy said was, but Rebbe, your name is Moshe, and my name is Moshe. The Chassam Sofer says, okay, you're right, okay. Let's forget about it. A few days later, the boy realized he made a mistake. There's no better girl than the Chassam Sofer's daughter, Simcha. There's no greater daughter. So he goes back to his Rebbe, and he says to his Rebbe, Rebbe, you know, I changed my mind. If you're not machmid, I'm not. If it's good enough for you, I'm not machmid. The girl Hador is not machmid. So the Chassam Sofer said to him, an incredible thing, he says to him, it's too late. Your jerk reaction was, you're machmid. If you're machmid, it's a problem. It really is a problem. I'm not machmid, I couldn't kill us. I'm not part of this machane.
It's
Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Chassam Sofer, I'm not part of the machane of those who are machmir and chassid. To me, it's water for a duck. But you come from a different background. You come from a different family. You come from a different community. And in your community, you're machmir. Everyone makes exceptions. Everyone does things differently at some point in time in their life. Your jerk reaction was, you're machmir. If you're machmir, it's a problem. If you're machmir, Rabbi Yehuda chassid is machmir. And it's not going to be good. So let's just call it quits. Let's quit while we're ahead. Got it? That's the story. It's a very powerful story. There's a lot to be said about that story. At both sides, that story is in this week's parasha. Ephraim and Menashe are presented before the death of Yaakov Avinu for a bracha. They position, they bring them both in. Yosef, Yaakov Avinu, he takes, doesn't tell us all the details, he says to Menashe, Menashe, stand on the right. Ephraim, stand on the left. Menashe is the Bechor, right? So Menashe is on the right, Gesunte Heit. Ephraim's not the Bechor, he's on the left. Everything is going according to plan. Okay, the cameras are rolling. It's a live presentation. Everything is perfect. And then all of a sudden, Yosef steps out. Goes, takes a cup of coffee. And in the meantime, Ephraim, Yaakov, he sends out his right hand. Sikel Lasyadov. He reverses the order. Right hand, the chosh of the hand goes on Ephraim, and the left hand goes on Menashe, and he gives a bracha. Let's see what the words of the bracha are. Kedai to see the words. He says, "Vayvarech es Yosef, vayomer ha'lokim asher shlachti v'chulu hamalach ha'goyel oisi mikol ra yivorech." Es hat Orim, wie Korim, wie Shemi, wie Shema, wie Sai, Avraham, wie Yitzchak, wie Yidgul, wie Reubichev. What a bracha. Can't get better than this. Where's Yosef? He's in the back. He's watching. Yosef sees what's going on. Cut the tape. Cut. Director, cut. Stop the show. Something is wrong. Vayar Yosef. It's already too late. The bracha was already given. Oh, Vayera Be'enav. Vayismach, and he tries to remove the hand. Yad Ovil, Hosir, Sum, Yad Rosh, Ephraim, Rosh, Menashe. Vayom Yazil, Loichein Avi. You got it all wrong. Rebbe, my name is Moshe, and your name is Moshe. We can't do this. Come back. Rebbe, I changed my mind. It's too late. The bracha is only as good as much as you want to be mekabel the bracha. If someone gives you a bracha, if you don't want to be mekabel the bracha, it's a free country. No one's forcing you to be mekabel the bracha. You don't like the guy and he gives you a bracha? I don't have any problem. I don't want the bracha. I don't need your bracha. Leave me alone. Don't do me any favors. The bracha is only as good as your ratzon to be mekabel the bracha. Yosef says, Lo chein avi, vayera, it was ra, lo chein avi, ki zeh habechor, you're messing it up. And then vayemoin avi, and he explains to him, and then he goes, vayta vayivorechein. Vayemahu, b'chor yivorech, yisroleimor yisimcha lokim ki afayim v'chem menashe. Like we say Friday night. There's a problem here. This is a bracha. The legacy of Klal Yisrael. And this bracha is everything. Yaakov Avinu is the Bechir Sheba Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Rachel Leah didn't give brachas to the next generation. Okay, the one who gave the brachas, Avraham to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, Yaakov to Yosef. And now he's giving also to Yosef and to Ephraim and Menashe. Sar Rivka Rachel Leah, it's there. Our legacy depends on the Messiah. There's a problem. Yosef, who was an eyewitness to this event, who represents Klal Yisrael, Vayera Be'enav. Loichenavi. For all generations, Ar Hayom Hazeh, this haunts us. Here was a moment when Yaakov Avinu was giving a bracha to protect, to bless Hamalach Hagoyel Oisim Yikol Ra Yivarech Hasan Arim V'Yidgu L'Roiv. And then the next words Yisimcha Elokim Ki Ephraim V'Chem Menashe B'cho Yivarech Yisrael Leimor. You can interpret this many different ways. And you, Yosef, don't like the bracha. You're challenging me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm senile. I don't know what I'm doing. See, I'm ruining the whole thing for you over here. I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. The whole legacy of Klal Yisrael is in jeopardy. And therefore, you know what we have to do for the rest of time in Adimos HaMashiach? Every Friday night, Chotasi, Avisi, Parshati. The bracha Yaakov gave. We love the bracha. We want the bracha. It's not Vayera Be'enav. It's not Lechenavi. It's Kenavi. Bechor, we repeat the words over and over again. We have to make up for the mistake of Yosef HaTzadik. He blew it. This was the moment. And now we, for all generations, have to say, Ribbono Shel, that bracha that Yaakov gave to give us the numbers that we have, whatever all the brachas, we accept it. We want it. We're mekabel it. We're not questioning the right hand, the left hand. Give the bracha. We have to do it every single time of the year. Every Friday night. Every time there's a bracha for boys. Simchas Torah, Hamalach HaGoel. It's this because, unfortunately, we blew it. If you want to go a little bit deeper, you can say is, what he's saying to him over here is, Yaakov himself told him, you blew it. He basically said to him, like the Chassam Sofer, said to him, it's too late. It was Vayer B'Enov. L'Cheinavi, you blew it. And now you're going to have to make it up for the rest of your life. B'chol Yivarech Yisrael Leimar, Yisim Chol Kim Kefarim B'chol Menashe. I was planning to give you the bracha, you would be safe. Now you blew it. You know what? For the rest of time, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to go and say, Avcharata, B'chol Yivarech Yisrael Leimar, the Gans Klai Yisrael is going to have to make up for the mistake that you made. What's the Musa Haskel? The Musa Haskel is, think twice. Think twice. Don't be so rash in challenging your elders. Okay, obviously Yosef knew Yaakov. Yaakov wasn't senile. I mean, he had a rationale for what he did. He tried to remove his hands. I mean, these are powerful expressions. What's going on? He got physical. He got verbal. What's going on over here? He made a mistake. And we pay for that mistake. Because the bracha was not channeled betokvoy in its full intensity. If you have not made this mistake, who knows? Maybe the bracha would have been channeled down in its intensity, and maybe today the population of the Jewish people wouldn't be 15 million people. It would be 150 million people. 10 times in history did the Jewish people not make it into the next generation in less than half. It was a Bill Wine calculates 10 times in Jewish history, the next generation was less than half the population of the previous generation. It's unbelievable. We can cut down so many times. Oh, but the bracha of a Yidgul, the Rebbe Kerev Haaretz. Lechein Avi. You make the mistake. You don't know what you're doing. You don't want the bracha? If you don't want the bracha, then you don't get the bracha. It doesn't work. That's the way the rules. That's how it goes. We have to make it up. Becha Yivarech. We want the bracha. Okay, so this is one idea. Let's go to another idea. Another controversial idea. Yeah.
But the bracha was to Ephraim and Menashe.
It's the legacy of Klal Yisrael. It's not the bracha to Ephraim and Menashe.
They weren't children. They were grown men.
They carried on the legacy of Avraham, Yitzchak, to Yaakov. They were the leaders. They were the ones who carried on the legacy of Klal Yisrael. Of course, you have all Klal Yisrael. Okay. But there are different madrigot. Yeah. Well, that's because of Yoram ben Nevat. That's really in a negative way. That's really in a negative. There is a mahalach we're saying is correct. That is that Ephraim, that was called Ephraim, Haben Yaakov Li Ephraim.
Yeah, right.
The Gans Klal. So why this bracha? The transition of Bechol Yivarech Lema, the right hand of Yaakov Avinu, Ephraim, on Ephraim, he is the next generation. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Ephraim. So Klal Yisrael is called Al Shem Ephraim. That's a approach. That's not the popular approach. The popular approach is he's called Ephraim. Ephraim is the Malchus of Yisrael. And the pasuk, by the way, is not in the traditional mikra is not a pleasant pasuk. It's a critique. It's this criticism of Klal Yisrael in that pasuk. So we take everything out of context, so we don't really know what we're saying. Okay, but he's saying good. He's saying good. But this is Ephraim is part of the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov, Rashi says, Yaakov Avinu spent 17 years learning Bichavrusa with who? Ephraim. Not with Yosef. He learned with Yosef before. But he learned with Ephraim. He gave over to Ephraim all of the secrets of the Torah. the shalsheles of Klal Yisrael was passed down to Ephraim. And Yaakov says, Yosef says, Loichainovi, I don't want this bracha. You're making a mistake. Oh, you don't want the bracha? Then you don't get the bracha. And you're in a lot of trouble now. You're in a lot of trouble. And the only way that is going to be able to fix that trouble is the whole Klal Yisrael forever and ever is going to have to go and do what you did. They're going to have to pray to Hashem that we don't have any problems with this bracha.
Why didn't he complain all along that he wasn't learning with
Menashe? Menashe was busy.
Menashe was busy.
He was in Menashe.
He wasn't learning with
Menashe. Menashe was busy. He was an administrator.
Okay.
Different strokes for different folks. Let's go to that idea. I want to discuss that idea now. Question. He's a whole new vart. Why did he give a bracha that he says to that Ephraim, he gave him the chiluk, he said that Ephraim and Menashe are going to be like Kiruvein v'Shimon Yehiyuli. Reuven and Shimon did not get along. Reuven did not want to kill. Did not want to kill Yosef. Shimon was a violent person. Shimon, by the way, the Chazal said the only really two brothers who wanted to kill Yosef. Shimon and Levi. Reuven did not. Yehud did not. The Bnei HaShvachos could not possibly want to kill him because he was good to them. Because he was so kind to them. Because he protected. That's why they hated him. Because he protected them. So that's four out. And then Rashi says that the Chazal said that Yisachar and Zvulun, they were too young. They would not talk up in front of their brothers. They were much older than the other brothers. They wouldn't make a peep in front of the older brothers. They were the babies. So there were only two brothers who manipulated. There were two manipulators in Mechiras Yosef. Two brothers. Shimon and Levi. No one else, everyone else, just went along with the program. Went along with the program. They were not decision makers. They're guilty by association. They're guilty because of their silence. They may have even voted, but they were manipulated. They're guilty because they allowed themselves to be manipulated. But only two people manipulated everyone else, Shimon and Levi. Question. If you want to go say, Ephraim and Menashe, such good children, achdus, such fine children, they're so happy with each other. So you should say, Ephraim and Menashe, Kishimon and Levi. Not Kiruvein v'Shimon. They should be like Shimon and Levi. Because Shimon and Levi were carbon copies of one another. They were both violent people. They both destroyed Shechem. They were exactly, they saw things in the same light. Reuven and Shimon have nothing to do with each other. They don't agree on anything. The whole bracha we always say is that if I'm Menashe, we assume they were such good brothers, they were even jealous. They always say this verse. Even though he switched the hands, they had no tightness on one another. They were such goody-goodies among each other. So why then are you comparing them to Reuven and Shimon? Compare them to Shimon, and Levi. So the answer is like this. Hagufa. Yaakov Avinu does not want everyone to be the same. The B'no de Bracha is, if I'm coming here to Mitzrayim, I come here, what do I see here? I see there's an Ephraim and there's a Menashe. What does Ephraim do the whole day? He's in Koilel. He's Toirasay Umnasay. He never earned a dollar his whole life. He doesn't even know what money looks like. He can't even tell you what color it is. He doesn't even know what a dollar will. He sits in the tent of Torah, Toirasay Umnasay Yom Valayla. Menashe, what does he do the whole day? He's the administrator. He is Yosef's right-hand man. He knows. He is in charge of the CIA, the FBI, the NSA. He knows for Stutzach, everyone. He knows all the gossip. He goes to all the mikvahs and sits down and listens to all the comments. He knows politics. He knows it all. But he's nish to grace a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham, he learns Daf Yomi, comes to the morning kollel. But that's it. That's it. He's off to the races. So Yaakov Inu says, excellent. It's very good. Very good. Because you're not, Ephraim, you're not cut out for this. And Menashe, you're not cut out for this. Very good. But we have a problem in society. And the problem in society is people like to flex their muscles. They like to say there's only one way to serve Hashem. There's only one way to serve Hashem. You have to sit koil. You have to sit and learn in koil. If you don't sit and learn in koil, you're not pikaris. And then there are people that say, if you don't serve in the army, I've heard this, I've heard this, Mamish. I heard this from a very holy rabbi. He said that his son said that people who don't, that Mamish should be cursed. Mamish should be cursed. If you don't go to the army, you Mamish have a din in the Shulchan Aruch without any exception to it. These are fine, good people. These are people who are Mamish, Talmidei Chachamim, they're accomplished people, and they Mamish believe without any question whatsoever that if you don't follow the derech of serve the Medina, you Mamish not be cursed. So that's wrong. So I mean, who am I to argue? But they're both wrong. They're both wrong. Different strokes for different folks. Everyone has their tafkid. Everyone has a different way of serving Hashem. Everyone is cut out for something differently, and everyone has to find their place. Ephraim and Menashe, you know, you're very good, Ephraim and Menashe. I see there's a difference. Preserve it. Be like Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon have nothing what to do with one another. They don't agree on anything. Totally different worlds, who they are. Ephraim and Menashe, you should remain Ephraim and Menashe. Just like Reuven and Shimon, who are already adults, they're already well into their life. They don't agree with each other, but they live with each other. Ephraim, remember, the Shvat, all the Shiftei Ka, we have a tradition, Chazal make it, they knew how to get along with one another. Yud Beis Shiftei Ka, they're not the Yud Beis Shiftei Ka because, for no reason. They knew how to be different and to get along. From all of my children, the two that are totally different, who don't see eye to eye on anything in this world, is Reuven v'Shimon. Ephraim and Menashe, learn from them. Your children, you're very different. Each one of you I see has a different hashkafa in life. Make sure you remain that way. Don't be influenced or manipulated by the other tzad. And have respect for the other tzad. Ki Reuven v'Shimon, not ki Shimon v'Levi yuli. Okay, next part. What is this with the Sikil Asyadav? Okay, which one we have left? Sikil Asyadav. Ki Menashe HaBachar. What's going on? What is this? What is this? A game? The answer is as follows. Menashe is on the right. Ephraim is on the left. Menashe is the gevir. He's the administrator. He's in the news. He's in the papers. Pashat, he is. He's the Bukhar. But he's on the right. Not only was the Bukhar, he was a personality. He was Yosef's right-hand man. Lahavil, Elif, Alfa, Elif, those. Is there a person in this country who doesn't know who Ivanka Trump is? Okay? Is there a person in the whole country who doesn't know who Jared Kushner is? Is that a person in the whole country? Yeah, I'd be living under a rock not to know. Were they elected into office? No, no one elected them into office. This is the daughter and the Aiden of the president. So this is the way it is. Menashe was a personality. He ran the country. He had an office. He had an office in the Oval Office in the White House. He had his own office, just like his children have an office there. They're right next door. Ephraim is nowhere to be found. Barren. He's nowhere to be found. Where is he? He's in Koilo. Who's going to get all the covet? When they make a dinner? They make an event, they interview on the radio, they interview on television, all the Sunday morning news programs. Who are they interviewing? Ephraim or Menashe? Menashe. Ephraim is not coming to this, not in a million years. No way. But Menashe is there every Sunday morning. He's there front and center. Menashe is Menashe. So, and what does Menashe do? Koilo, government's got to pay the bills. He allocates resources to support the people. He raises the money. He's a person who's a personality, has power to raise vast sums of money. It's an incredible koyach. A person who has a shame davar, you go ask someone for $1 million, they give it. Okay, a person who's a personality. He called me to give. Of course, I'll give you $1 million. If I go call Bill Gates to give $1 million, to give $5, well, spit on me. I wouldn't even get near him. Okay, if Trump will call Bill Gates and say to Bill Gates, you know, we need some money for Tzarchi Tzibur. Give me $1 million. He won't blink. Bill Gates, I'll write $1 million check in 5 seconds. The president of the United States asked me to give $1 million. I'll give $1 million. Ivanka Trump calls up Bill Gates. He'll give $1 million. Pashat. He'll give $1 million. I could stand in my head forever. I wouldn't get near anything. Okay, so he gets the covet, Menashe. But we live in a world, you have to have a lot of emunah. Who really is the one that, who is really supporting who? Okay, this is a very delicate vart, but in the B'nai Torah, this is the way it is. Who's supporting who? Is Yisachar supporting Zevulun, or is Zevulun supporting Yisachar? In this world, it appears to the naked eye, without any shadow of a doubt, Zevulun is supporting Yisachar. HaKesef Ya'ane Es HaKol. No questions, no and if or buts. But Chazal tell us, it's Sheker. The world was built for the purpose of the study and the fulfillment of Torah. And the true pillars of this world are the people who are sincerely, authentically devoted to the Torah. Okay? Authentic devotion to the Torah, they support the world. Ephraim gives covered malachim, Yaakov gives covered malachim to Menashe. Menashe is on the right side. Ephraim is on the left. No, you're on the left. You're just a spectator. He takes his right hand and he puts it on Ephraim. He puts his right hand on Ephraim. Wow. On Ephraim. Ephraim. Yaakov takes his right hand. I am showing that what is the ikar in this world, the right hand, is a... Oh, but Menashe is still standing. Don't make any mistake. Menashe, you have to... If you're outside the window of this room, you're looking inside, you're not going to see all this. You're not going to see the hands. You're going to see where they're standing. When they take the pictures in the newspaper, they're not going to show the hands. They're going to be very creative in how they take the picture to make sure you only get to see where they're standing. The one on the right is Menashe. Menashe is on the right. The covet. No, this is the son. The Kohel Yungaman, no one wants to talk about. He's on the left side. No one's going to be able to really see that the right hand is on Ephraim, which is the chash of the hand, and the left hand, okay. But it goes much deeper than that. When you put your right hand on Ephraim, and now you put your left hand on Menashe, you're not just putting your left hand on Menashe. Your left hand is now being supported by your right hand. Who is supporting who? In this example, okay, I'm backwards because I'm looking at you. My left hand my is being supported by my right hand. Yaakov was making a statement. Ephraim, Menashe, in this world, you'll get all the covet. Nothing to talk about. Open up the newspaper. What do you need? Who are they honoring? Only money. Kesef yane. But you have to understand, you have to... Sikel. Sikel doesn't say chokhma. It doesn't say bina. It says seichel. Sikel as yadav. What is seichel? Something that is not obvious. Something that there is hidden. Maven davar mitoich davar. There's chokhma. There's bina. Bina is to understand. Seichel is even deeper. It's a hidden understanding, a comprehension of something which is not obvious. It's not obvious in this world that the success of Menashe is all dependent upon the authenticity and the truth of Ephraim. It is Ephraim who gets Yaakov's right hand. And not just that. Ephraim is the true support for Menashe, because what Yaakov Avinu is giving Menashe is now only being supported by Yaakov's right hand that is giving bracha to Ephraim. Okay, let's wind down with one zvart. Did Yosef ever forgive his brothers for the Mechira? A very dramatic, emotional encounter between the brothers and Yosef at the end of the parasha. Was there ever Mechila? Well, they certainly ask for Mechila. Sana Lepesha. Forgive us. Lepesha. On their honor, please. Sana. They're begging him, forgive us what we've done to you. But we don't hear a peep from Yosef if he really forgave them. And this is a major, major machlokes in the Rishonim if he ever forgave them. We all know Chazal tell us that Asara Gemalchus. We don't really know what that means. The consequence. What's going on? The Rabbeinu Bechaye says, absolutely not. There is no way in the world he forgave them. And he says it's simple, one simple reason. And this is a very powerful mussar. If he really forgave, he can't forgive them.
Because it's too little too late. They first asked him for mechila only after their father died. As long as their father was alive, they have protexia. The father's alive. They're not going to get into trouble. Now the father died, you come, ask me for mechila. That's not a... There's no way any... At this point, it's possible in this world that that request is sincere. You had 17 years to ask me mechila. For 17 years, they were living in Egypt before Yaakov died. 17 years you could have come and have done the same thing. Ona, sona, lepesha achecha. Forgive us for our terrible sins. No, not a word. Now that our father died, all of a sudden you're coming to ask for mechila. I can't give you mechila because you didn't ask for mechila. And this is not called asking. This is not called asking. It's too little and too late. The Musa Haskell is the life where we have fights with people. And we always say, don't worry, the day will come. The day will come when they'll realize I'm right. Interesting. Yesterday, I had such a moment. I had a moment when someone told me something, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years ago about a certain Gadol. Very famous Gadol who's no longer alive. He said something. I said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And yesterday, something happened. I became aware of something. And I said, wow, he was right. He was right. Look at that. Look at that. Oh my, Latsanis. He was right. He knew, he really knew it. He saw it coming. So what do people say? All right, so listen, the day will come and they'll see the meantime, we'll fight. You can't make up lost time. You learn from this parasha, there can be mechila, there can be bakashas mechila, but every day that goes by is a day too long. It's a day that's gone. They blew it. They had a 17-year opportunity, and that opportunity is gone forever. They'll come now and they'll ask, mechila, 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 we want to be good with you. It's too late now. You had 17 years. It doesn't work anymore. The mechila doesn't work anymore. I can't give mechila because I don't even feel it sincere. How could I have to be in the mood? I have to, it doesn't work. Every Yom Kippur, you say it's a joke. That's not called mechila. Mechila means, you know, what did you do wrong to me? I don't know, maybe. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I stepped on your toes. Come on. Mechila means a person in Aveira. You come in the right way, sincerity. You mechila with sincerity. You dive for them. You can't make it up. You cannot chaperein. If you want to correct wrongs in this world, don't wait. They waited too long, and the consequences are catastrophic. 17 years. Anyway, you're going to ask mechila, right? Anyway. Anyway, you're going to ask mechila. What are you waiting for? Do it right away. Too late. It's too late. I talk, don't like that. It depends where. It doesn't mean anything. Come on, mechila. What kind of life did you live? How did you treat the person for 50 years? You knew this person. Now you're just mechila. I mean, come on. Right, so this is a very liberal Hamusar take out, but that will include Hamuel Shabbos, Chazak, Vinis Chazek. Nice to peace.